And so today I want us just to talk really about one word that Jesus said to her. And it's that Jesus spoke the truth to her. And last week we said that Jesus said, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so I just want us to focus a little bit on Jesus being the truth to this woman. I mean, we could say lots of things. You know, we said last week, she had a difficult background. Nobody really engaged with her. And Jesus, someone who was of a different race, religion, and someone who was of a different gender, he was prepared to talk to her despite all the pressures. So we've got no Queen songs playing in the background today, for which I apologise. But what I want us to say today is simply this: we are responsible for living the truth, for learning the truth, and for telling the truth. First one is living the truth. How do we worship the Father in spirit and in truth? Well, in spirit, our spirit should communicate with God's spirit. When we are born again in Christ, when we are made alive in Christ, as Paul puts it, our spirit is rejuvenated. The life of God comes into our spirit, and we are able to communicate with God spirit to spirit. Praise is something we do with our mouths predominantly. Worship involves the body in a more wider sense. But God, who is spirit, wants to commune with our spirits too. If you like, what we say and what we do is not quite enough for God. He wants to commune with the inner person, with you spirit to spirit. They always used to tell me when I was a young man that when you saw people moving as they were worshipping God, that movement was very Jewish. It was very much the meaning of the word worship. And that we, when we worship God with our whole selves. True worship is truth worship. It's genuine. It's authentic. It's not fake. Our worship must be a fact. It mustn't be a fake. Over the years, and I have to say we've done very, very well in this church, but over the years, as I've grown up through churches, I have seen people come in who were absolute fakes and were trying to find a place in church where they could get power or authority or recognition, but they themselves really did not know God. And it's very sad when you see instances like this. It's not the sort of thing you see in every church in every year, but people do come along who are fakes. Jude and 2 Peter warn us about these people coming into church, and they're not something that we should all be looking out for. That's the elders' responsibility. But let me assure you of this: we are on the lookout, but we are much more on the lookout for good people and people that we can embrace and love and show the love of Christ to. But we just have to recognise that some people are not authentic in their faith. They are not living the truth. You know, I recognise that it is possible to have a real relationship with God and worship God in a church setting which is liturgical and where you know exactly what words are going to be spoken. But I also recognise that in that setting, sometimes it's easy to go along with the words without them meaning anything. And if we're just saying words today, our minds can be anywhere. You know, because it happens to you too, you're reading your Bible and you get to the bottom of the page and it suddenly strikes you that you have no idea what you have just read. Now, I have a strategy for that. What I do is I go back to the top of the page and I read it again. And if at the bottom of the page a second time, I still don't know what it's about, I read it again a third time. And you might say, you don't have time for that. I tell you what, if you do have time for that, you will teach yourself to read and to understand and to take it in. You know, sometimes we have to recognize the truth of Christ, the truth of God in the book of God, the truth of God in our prayer times, that all of these things, we need to have our minds focused. We need to think about what we're doing. And then when we worship him in truth, we are really there. I used to do some leadership training seminars a few years ago. And one of them included an activity called Be Here Now. And the basic premise was that when someone comes to you, you know, I'm talking about me in my office, someone knocks at the door, comes in the office, what I should do is I should put down my phone, I should stop writing, I should put down my pen, I should turn and look at them and listen. And Be Here Now is a great principle for Christians, just as it is for business people, that we should always give attention to somebody that is talking to us. I don't know about you, but it's absolutely terrible to be talking to somebody and they're thinking about something else. And so I hope that helped you. You've been there, haven't you? That has happened to you. And we need to make sure that we are not doing that to God. We need to be here now for God. And that means that we have to be authentic in our spiritual worship. Thanking God for his forgiveness. You know what? If all I could do is thank God for his forgiveness, that'll keep me going a while, because I'm well forgiven. I really am. God has forgiven me of so much. I have a lot to thank him for that. But there is so much to thank God for. There's so much to praise God for. There's so much to talk to him about. And actually, being able to talk to him heart to heart is really important. I don't know about you, but sometimes my heart breaks. Recently, I had a meeting with a couple, and they didn't want to talk about Jesus at all. These were people who've been in church for 40 years, and they didn't even want to talk about God. And I came away heavy in my heart, because I thought, these people are not interested in Jesus, and why are they going to church? You know, what's happened in their lives that they have become, there's like a wall between them and God. Why would they have the pretense of going to church and yet not have any communion with him? In John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus says, "If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." If we're going to be living the truth, we need to continue in his word. Sandra said it this morning. And, you know, I just want to say this is something that rolls off the tongue very easily. And for those of us that have been around church a while, It's easy to say, read your Bible, pray every day. And that's another song they taught me at Sunday school. Is, read your Bible, pray every day, pray every... You see, you all know it. But unless we are engaging with God's truth, with our truth, and our truth has got to be real truth. There only is one truth. It's not like we've all got our own. There is a simple truth. Jesus is truth. And we need to engage with Jesus. And living the truth will really set us free. And I don't know about you, but sometimes in life, we can feel trapped. We can feel like everything is against us. And, you know, even your pastor knows what that feels like. But let me tell you this. If we engage with the truth, Jesus, if we engage with his word, our Bibles, if we talk to him, if we do all of these things, we will be living the truth and the truth will set us free. If we aren't putting on a pretense, we don't have to remember. My mother used to tell me, liars have to have good memories. And, you know, it's true with God as well. I mean, I don't know who we think we're fooling sometimes, but we can't fool God at all. You might fool me from time to time, but, you know, God isn't fooled. And let's not try to pretend, but let's try to connect in truth with the truth and live the truth. Okay? My second point today is learning the truth. Now, here's a big holy Bible. You can tell that's a holy Bible because it's got a red ribbon down the middle. It's the same colour as Rahab's cord. You know, oh, it's a very holy Bible, is that one. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, you are. It's good that you can say it too. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Jesus is the truth. No one comes to the Father except through me, Jesus said. And we should remember that. There is no other way. There are no back doors to God. There's only one door. Jesus is the door. So learning the truth is very important. Now, in John 1, it says this, the Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word for this is really simple. Observe Jesus. By observing Jesus, we learn the truth. We learn from him. Now look. There's 3,000 books in my office, and I love my books, and I learn from them, but ultimately, I learn primarily from Jesus. We aren't all academic, and God doesn't look for academic people. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, was it 2 Corinthians chapter 1? I've just gone blank on that. It's the first chapter of one of the Corinthians. It says that when you were called, not many of you were clever. Not many of you were from noble families. Not many of you were extra bright or extra wealthy. But God calls everyone from every wake of life. And do you know what? It doesn't matter if you haven't got some of the advantages that other people have got. My wife and I, we were brought up by our mothers. Our fathers both died when we were young. We were both dragged up, really, in poverty. But, you know, God has been good to us. And I thank God for that. I haven't needed to come from wealthy, from a wealthy point of view, because if I had done, I wouldn't have made it. The gospel, the good news of Jesus, is out there for everyone, whatever your background. Thank God for that. I thank God that Jesus welcomes you whoever you are, whatever background you come from. And we all need to learn, whether we're academic or not, we can all learn. There's somebody in this church who often says to me, God has spoken this to me this week, and I know that that particular person struggles with reading. But you know what? God is good. And I thank God for his goodness and for his kindness. And I thank him that he is very real to us when we reach out to him in truth. And let me say this to you. If you set yourself to learn the truth, you will learn. You will learn in different ways. You will learn in different times. But God himself will explain things to you. Relationships flounder when we don't learn about each other. In fact, when we don't learn about each other, it's actually because we're selfish. You see this, you know, young people entering into relationships often for the first time, and one of them is focused on what they can get out of the relationship and not what they can give. It's coming up now on a decade since the midweek show on Radio 4 in an evening with Michael Burke had its 20th anniversary. And that, they did was they played an interview from the first show, and they played an interview from that week. And it was about As Marriage Had Its Day. That was the first ever show on the, I'm trying to remember the name of the show now, but. Moral Maze. Well done, that man. And the first ever show was about Has Marriage Had Its Day? And they replayed this interview with this woman. And she said, well, marriage is about what you put into it. You know, my husband and I, we've got a great marriage. We're there for each other. We make sure that every day we put something into our marriage. And then he played back an interview from that week that had taken place on the street outside the BBC's big place in London. And they said to this person, tell us about your experience of marriage. And she said, well, you know, marriage is about what you can get out of it. And my last marriage didn't work out because I didn't feel fulfilled. And what they talked about for that hour on that show was the difference in attitude in 20 years. You know, 20 years ago, they were questioning whether marriage had had its day, but actually they came up with the viewpoint that it hadn't. But right now they were saying, we're not quite so sure, because the experience we're getting is that people are looking at it from a consumer point of view as to what works for them. Well, let me tell you something about knowing Jesus. Jesus wants a relationship with all of us. And we have to take time to learn about him. Just as a successful relationship of any kind is based on what we know of each other and learning how to please each other and to be a positive influence on each other. And Jesus needs to be known, and we need to know him. And I would suggest to you that is a very good focus that helps us learn the truth. So I suppose what I'm saying to you is, learning the truth isn't just reading academic texts. Some of us have a calling to do that. But learning the truth is also about knowing our Saviour. And he will make all things clear to us. Matthew 11:29 says this, all of you, take up my yoke and learn from me. Because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So many people have thought so many things over the years about what a yoke means. If you are a rabbi, and to all intents and purposes, Jesus was a rabbi. He had disciples. He wore a rabbi's cloak with tassels around it, because we know that because a woman reached out and touched the tassel of his garment and was healed. If you are a rabbi, every rabbi has a yoke. And he puts that yoke on his disciples. Now, I am speaking figuratively here. We're not talking about the yoke that you put on oxen to harness them up to a plow. We're not talking about something that is a physical aid to work. What we're talking here about is taking on the rabbi's yoke, taking on the learning of Jesus. And you know, the disciples walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. 3.5 years. Disciples of any rabbi would follow him for at least that period of time. And then they would go forth, and then they would teach the rabbi's yoke to others. Well, I was surprised recently when talking to, I'm very sorry to have to admit this, I talked to a train spotter. I'm very sorry. I don't want you to think I'm a moral loss. But you know, train spotters have got books, magazines. They have a whole range of teaching materials that support them in their hobby. Now, I'm only joking about train spotters. I have some good friends who are train spotters, and they're lovely people. But, you know, it isn't onerous to learn from Jesus. We just have to set ourselves to do it. And if train spotters, this particular person I'm thinking of, when I arrived, he had his head in a magazine. And as soon as I left, he opened the magazine again. And it was a train spotting magazine. And he was always wanting to know about particular trains. When you are a devout train spotter, you will always have your head in a magazine or in a book. Or you'll be out on a station with your notebook, writing down what you see coming past. This is not only about trains. This is about our Creator, our Saviour, our Lord, our King. If we can't learn of Him, well, we are defaming Him, really. But more than anything, we are cutting off our nose to spite our face. We can all learn of Him in one way or another. My last point today is telling the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So Jesus says He is the truth. Speaking the truth is important. We should always try and tell the truth. At this point, I want to say to you that we have to recognize that the truth is not always acceptable. For example, you could blurt out something in a mixed company that is true about somebody, but it isn't helpful. You see, to think of an example that none of you could possibly know who I mean, I knew about a young girl who had a pregnancy outside of marriage. She was a pastor's daughter, and nobody knew about it. And she wanted to unburden her heart to somebody, and for some reason she picked me. And I never ever told anybody about that. Now, if I went into a room where she was, even now, which I don't even know where she lives anymore, but if I did that and said, "Hi everybody, this is so and so." Yeah, she had an unwanted pregnancy in her teens. Would that be helpful, do you think?
No.
I don't think anybody knows about that. I know her parents never knew. You know, is it helpful to tell the truth entirely? Sometimes we have to recognise that the truth has to be delivered when it is both helpful and beneficial to the people that hear it. We have to understand that it isn't helpful to embarrass people with truth. And yet, there are occasions where we can see Jesus doing that. The teachers of the law say to Jesus, "Don't you know that you insult us when you're going on about the Pharisees and the Sadducees?" And Jesus said to him, "And woe to you, teachers of the law, because you're worse than any of them." That's my paraphrase. But Jesus does do that. And sometimes we have to tell the truth in a way that deflates people's egos and that helps them recognise the reality of where they are now. But those occasions are rare. Where we should always speak the truth is when it is something to do with our behaviour. I used to, going back 19 years, I used to be a store manager for PC World. And I used to have a habit that occasionally got me in trouble with the hierarchy, but always won me customers for life. And that is when we had made a mistake, I would go up to the customer and say, I'm really sorry. I take personal responsibility for this. This is my fault. And people would just be really warm to that. And they might rack off at me, but I would make sure that I did something to make that problem go away. And I would send them out the store happy. And some of my colleagues, other managers, would say to me, "Stephen, you shouldn't do that, really. You should never accept blame for anything." But then I would say to them, "But I am the manager. These are my team. These products that I've sold them, they were my products before they left the store and went home with them. Somebody has to take responsibility. I think it's me." And to be fair, they accepted that. But, you know, telling the truth about responsibility is important. Sometimes it helps to say, "Hey guys, listen, I know that someone spilt Ribena on the carpet. It was me." And most of us, we have the attitude that if I can get out of there before anybody asks me, then no one will ever know it was me who spilt it on the carpet. You know what I'm saying on this? Telling the truth is a matter of responsibility. And we may have to be wise about the truth. People don't need to know everything, and they really don't. Sometimes we have to recognise that the truth that is relevant to a person, they need to know, but not the truth that isn't relevant to them. You see, you don't need to have any you don't need to have any ammunition to gossip about somebody who's been pregnant. You don't have to have any ammunition to know about someone's behaviour that was probably improper. You don't need to know that. What you need to know is Jesus loves you. And the same Jesus that has accepted them and forgiven them, he will accept you, he will forgive you. And that's the truth that we need to tell people. Remember that when you share an anecdote or a testimony, it's now in the public domain. You can't afterwards go back and say to someone, "Hey, what are you saying about that? That's my testimony. You shouldn't be saying anything about that." Well, you've let it out. You know, you've told people. You can't really tell them off for it, which is why sometimes it's better to think before we speak. As a general rule of thumb, always speak the truth or say nothing. And saying nothing is really difficult. And, you know, I get this all the time when I'm talking to people who've been bereaved. And, you know, people say, so-and-so came to see me and they said, he's in a better place. A better place would be in my arms. And you know what? That was rubbish what that person was told. Someone's in a better place. It isn't helpful to tell them that. We need to understand that telling the truth, it might be that he was a Christian and he's now in a heavenly place, which is a better place. That might be true, but it isn't helpful. Do you see what I mean? It's not that we're trying to be disguising the truth. We just need to understand what's helpful to say. Saying nothing to people when they're bereaved is actually incredibly powerful. I once went into a room and there were three people from a family, and this woman's husband had died, and I didn't know what to say. I just sat there. I stayed with them for an hour and a half, and then I got up and I hugged them. I said, I'm going to go now, but I'll be praying for you. And on the way home, I'm saying, oh God, I never said anything to them. I didn't know what to say. And about 3 weeks later, they came to see me and they said, Stephen, what you said that night was so powerful. You really encouraged us. And I'm thinking, I didn't say anything. But what we must always remember is that silence is a great truth as well. And we need to sometimes learn the power of silence. Jesus is the truth. Communicating the gospel that Jesus is the truth. Communicating that Jesus is welcomes everyone. That's vital. And that one thing that we know is that Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And when I say preach the gospel, I don't mean necessarily stand on a street corner and shouting, you must be saved. You know, sometimes that doesn't help. But when we talk to people one-to-one and people say, how are you doing? And say, well, you know, I'm doing good. I feel that Jesus has really helped me. I've started going to church and, you know, God's been really good to me. And, you know, that sort of truth, and that is real truth, is something that really communicates the gospel to people. I'm not saying there isn't a place for public preaching. There is a place. But I think aggressive preaching is not necessarily helpful for today. I think there have been times when it has been, but not everything needs to be like that. Jesus said, Matthew 28, 18 to 20, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age. We should communicate the good news about Jesus, knowing that we do so with the authority of Jesus himself. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me, therefore you go. Jesus gives us the authority to speak, and with his own word empowering us, and knowing that we have the eternal promise of his personal presence. I know that if I am talking about him, Jesus is with me. That is so powerful. I know he is with me. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning that you are the truth. And Lord, we want to commit ourselves to living the truth. We want to commit ourselves to telling the truth. Lord, we also want to commit ourselves to learning the truth. Lord, we want to make time in all of our busy schedules to focus a little bit every week on learning about you. Help us to know you better. Help us to please you and to have a stronger relationship with you. And help us, Father, to always tell the truth, and especially to tell the truth of your gospel. Help us, Lord, the scripture says that we should always be ready with an answer. Lord, help us to always have an answer for people that want to know about our faith, our salvation, our relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.